You've got to stop him before he gets the children. He's got to get five before midnight tomorrow night.
Me? Stop that thing? You got the wrong guy.
You are the direct descendant of the Reverend Phineas Worrell. It's your legacy.
Yeah, but I'm me and he's he, and we're talking real danger here. Stand and deliver. Firing line. Moment of truth. End of the line. Eighth level Mario Brothers.
You are the only troll fighter we've got. You're the seventh son of the seventh son. You're the baby. You're the boy. You are the great redneck hope.
Oh man, it's Talk Radar 69.
69,
dudes! Oh, Bill and Ted bringing us in. We saw that movie recently.
69!
By we, I'm guessing you mean you?
No, we watched it at the Castro Theater a couple weeks ago.
By
and,
we, again, yeah. You mean you?
No, me, Chris Antista, some other people from the game.
Who aren't here?
None of those people are here. This is Brett Elson.
Day.
Running the. That was.
Oh, Lizzie Cuevas.
Lizzie Cuevas.
Yes.
And across from me giggling
is Michael Raparos.
And next to me giggling
is Tyler Wilde.
Tyler Wilde.
Giggling is also
like
a gay date.
Like a little like a little girl.
Yes. I'm like a precious little princess.
Wait. All right. This week is a very special Talk Radar. It's, as we mentioned before, it's Talk Radar
69.
And it's a 69-minute podcast. We have 10 topics at 6.9 minutes each.
I can't believe Chris isn't here for
Chris
69.
Isn't here because he's dead. But I do have him burping.
He could tell a story about doing a 69 with a girlfriend, and it devolves farting.
And it devolves into farting, or it devolves into sound effects.
Shut up.
I've got a stopwatch, and at the end, as we get towards the end of each segment, you'll hear a very familiar countdown, and we have to move on to the next topic.
Wow, I'm sure that'll lend itself to free and open discussion.
Hilarity will ensue, and oh my God, what an entertaining podcast. But as a bit of behind the scenes, the reason it's a little short this week is because Chris is completely, utterly destroyed with work, and you'll see the fruits of his labor next week when I think he publishes a feature every single day.
Wow.
He's also working on stuff outside of the office, and his phantom lady is leaving for town, and he wants to go hug and kiss on her because he
and
loves
probably
her.
69.
Probably 69. And, that's how you send...
69's all around.
That's how you send people off.
It is, really. Anyone.
And before we move on, the 69 is the most equally beneficial but ultimately awkward sexual position.
It is Kevin from The Office's favorite number.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, I'll take your word up for that. But that's why I'm running the podcast this week, is because of 69.
Okay.
Because, I just wanted to take some weight off of his shoulders.
Because of Chris's 69.
Because his 69 is too tight.
That's what he said.
I would like to mention, before we go into anything else, Sega announced Valkyria Chronicles 2 for the PSP this week.
Oh, wow.
I was so excited because last year, what were we doing? We were saying Valkyria Chronicles is the prettiest game on the PS3. Awesome game, and they make a sequel for... Oh. Well, I guess I'll play that. Maybe. No one else? Okay, good.
They make a sequel for what?
Valkyria Chronicles.
Oh, for PS3?
PSP.
PSP.
Yeah, it's announced this week.
Oh, wow.
It is a genuine hidden gem on PS3. Sean Ratcliffe, one of our most cherished franchises. That doesn't really count because it's not a franchise.
Boop. Boop. Oh,
no.
Sorry.
No.
Not yet.
No, this is, you're watching live comedy. This is actually very funny.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
We've got 2.5 minutes left for this 6 minute section. I kind of overshot the intro here. We usually talk a little more about what we did.
I went to
IKEA, and I'll never go again. I bought 2 end tables, and both of those pieces of shit were broken in half like fucking Jackie Chan fought my end tables.
That's never happened to me. I've gone to IKEA a lot. Yeah. It's always been good
I've
chip.
Had a couple of bad experiences with like chips being torn out of things once I get them home.
Didn't
it's
you
like,
say a
oh,
table
man.
Dissolved in the rain?
It did. but it wasn't, I used
oh,
it for
like
years
the Wicked Witch.
Before I put it out on the back porch and it dissolved in the rain.
Oh.
And it was just like, wow, this thing is like just cardboard covered
I'm
in lacquer.
Melting.
Yeah. I think the legs just dissolved in the rain. That was it. And so it was just like sort of a kind of weather swollen slab sitting on these bumps of cardboard.
The legs are the prime thing that make a table a table.
Otherwise, but they were pretty sturdy up till that point.
Otherwise, it's just masturbating.
Just, you know, don't get your IKEA stuff wet or feed it after midnight.
Or we'll have babies with mohawks.
Exactly.
I was just talking about IKEA stuff earlier today because we were trying to open podcast beer. And, I mean, we ended up opening them with the lighter. Mm-hmm. But one time my friend tried to do the table method you put it against the table and, like, bang on it. So the caps
usually end up taking a chunk of the table with you.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happened with my IKEA table. My friend did that on my IKEA table, and then there was, like, a crescent shape taken out after.
Nice. Well, it looks like a bottle bit your table.
Yeah.
What did everyone do this weekend? You've got 40 seconds to tell me about it. Go, everyone at once.
I drank a lot of beer.
I played a lot of Muramasa.
Oh, how you like it so far?
It's pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, I gave that game an 8.
I know you did.
Yeah. Muramasa, Demon Blade. Go buy it on Wii this week, $49.99. Yeah. Lizzie?
I saw the Blink-182 and Weezer show.
Blink-182, Weezer show.
I peed in an alley.
You peed in an alley, and you've been hanging out with Chris all week.
Yeah,
and
I've been hanging out with Chris.
Probably 69ing.
but you got you. 69! Oh, Bill and Ted together. And for the first ever... the inaugural countdown. 4, 3, 2, 1. The topic is now the top 7. Every week we do a top 7 something.
On GamesRadar.com. This week it is the top 7 oddest Japanese video game heroes.
Oddest Japanese video game heroes written by the UK this week.
Sebastian Kanda.
I don't know who that is.
The seaweed is always green.
I don't either. I'm guessing it's maybe a new freelancer or possibly a new editor we haven't been introduced to.
It looks like a UK freelancer. So you too can freelance top 7 for Games Radar if you are good. And know our email
addresses. Probably aren't.
Which is 69@gamesradar.com.
Yeah, at your mom.
At your mother.
Google.com.
Please, mother.
Yeah.
And please be good at 69ing. Enter pictures. Picture proof, please.
At 69, your mother.
Like, dudes, don't be on top. That's just really bad idea. All right. Yeah. Number 7, oddest Japanese video game characters. I'm just saying.
Don't actually try to send email to that. It won't work.
It won't work.
I don't think
that's even a valid address.
I want to say all of the entries, if that's okay.
Go for it.
Number 7 is... Ebisumaru!
Ebisumaru! he's from Mystical Ninja, which is a franchise that was really popular in Japan and came out a few games over here, like Mystical Ninja for Super Nintendo, which I love. Mm-hmm. And then
the N64 game was also
the
really
N64 good. Game, which is what this song is from. It's called It's called I Am Impact.
Do you know what that song is from?
No.
That's the theme song of their giant wooden robot.
Oh, yeah.
Who shows up.
Yeah, I beat the game.
Yeah, Goemon Impact.
Yeah, Mystical Ninja 64 was like a very strong Zelda-like RPG game about 6 months before Ocarina of Time released. So at the time it was like, wow, there's this big open world. And you could play as Goemon and Ebisumaru.
A few other characters, I think. A
couple other characters. There was a girl and like a little ninja guy who ran through the trees. And I don't know, that's...
Ebisumaru, probably my best memory of him is he had a camera thing that he could use, and he also, like, other characters would kind of crawl on their stomachs when you told them to crouch, but he'd, like, crawl on his back like some sort of weird inchworm.
So he'd crab at you.
Yeah, but, like, during the... Like, just lie flat on his back and just inch along with his butt and his head. And so there was this, during the credits, they had kind of blooper reel segments, and there was this bit where he does that, and he crawls around and, like, crawls underneath a girl's skirt and then takes a picture.
Oh! I got something for that.
And that about size. What is that from?
It's from a pinball game.
Oh. Okay. Jesus.
No, Chris gave me a tip, is you click on this thing... And if you click in the middle of the timeline as it's playing, you can interrupt the thing. That's all. Oh. Michael, tell me some more about Ebisumaru.
He's probably...
Wait.
I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. You'll be happy for me.
Did you know Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time?
I'm really happy for you.
I'm really happy. Okay. Whoa, sorry for trying to be relevant. Go for it. Tell me about this stupid car. Actually, let's move on. Number six.
Number six.
I was almost going to say something.
Number six. Tell me,
Number
Tyler.
Six is Pepsi Man.
Pepsi Man. Pepsi Man was what? He was like a mascot, obviously.
Yeah.
Pepsi PR in Japan.
And he's like the star of something like 700 games that are ultra rare and collectible in Japan only.
Is this bit he just runs in a straight line and then fails at the end and hits his head on a window?
You know why?
Why?
Because he's not Coca-Cola Man.
Right.
Yeah.
Pepsi is the weaker.
Yeah. Coca-Cola is
He's
so
also
much
Alex
better.
Mack.
It is.
If, you know that.
If it weren't for Mountain Dew, I'd be entirely in Coke's pocket. Big Coke. But Mountain Dew, my God.
He's also the guy in those Capri Sun commercials.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
The low-rent T-1000 guy.
He's also the Terminator 2 when he's doing stuff.
That was the joke I just made. Only.
I don't listen to you, Brett. You know why?
For good reason.
I don't have any sound that makes me sad, so.
No one listens to Brett.
That's what you get.
Except for the farts.
Wow, this is really fun. What's next? Pepsi Man, I think that's kind of it. There's a lot of videos.
What can you say?
We embedded a YouTube video on GameZilla.com for this character. And it's just like, it looks like a Power Ranger character. Mm-hmm. Who he runs in, throws Pepsi at people, and then solves their problems. And then there were some PS1 games, apparently, that were really shitty.
Yeah, and he was in Fighting Vipers. The Japanese version only, though.
Number five. Tell me.
Is Doshin?
Doshin the Giant from the N64 games no one played. I really don't know anything about this character.
Well, they never came out over here, but the whole thing that made Doshin the Giant interesting is that...
Tell me.
Christ, what was it? That he's on this island with people, and it's like, as he doesn't hurt people, he gets bigger, but then as he gets bigger, he's more likely to hurt people, in which case he gets smaller. But
and it was a 64 DD launch game, which is really nerdy. Mm-hmm. Right? Lizzie, you
right,
can confirm
right?
that, right?
Which one?
Doshin the Giant, a big game on the 64 DD in
no,
Japan?
No, actually, I don't know. I looked over the top seven earlier today, and I saw this guy, and I started laughing because I thought he had a small penis.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, he's basically like a giant yellow Gumby. And like, and so he doesn't really have much form to him, and... Like, the article says the navel is perhaps the most underestimated part of a true hero. He has the belly button the size of a small car. But it's in his crotch. It's not where a belly button goes.
It sounds like it was his dick all along. And when they converted it to English, like, even when they would just talk about, like, it's just a really long Audi that shoots urine and semen.
Wait, honestly, how does he 69 with that?
How does he 69 with that? He'd have to 69 a tree.
I do know
a
this
semi-truck.
Is, this is often brought up when people are talking about art games.
Yes.
Although I couldn't really tell
we gotta
you
move,
why.
We got to move on. We got to move on. What's
number four. Orenta Hiro, a.k.a. Taro Yamada.
Jesus Christ.
Wow, that is a solid
just
line.
Just bang a gong while we're at
I'll
it.
Have
Christ.
To, I'll have to adjust that in post. And you've got 10 seconds to tell me about Renta Hiro, Michael.
I never played Rent-A-Hero. Christ. I remember it was like an iconic thing in the early Sega days.
Oh, yeah?
Guess what? There was a Dreamcast game that was described as Diet Shenmue. That's your problem, bitch.
All right, now we're moving on. Top seven. Numbers 3 through 1. What's number 3, Tyler?
Number 3 is Captain Rainbow,
okay. AKA Nick. All right, buddy. All right. What's the real topic?
Captain Rainbow.
Captain Rainbow.
AKA Nick. I have no idea what this is.
Oh, Nick.
Okay. Oh, Nick.
I know
Nick,
that guy.
The rainbow guy
Nick,
who lives around the corner.
Wait, do I know any Nicks?
Nick? I know tons of Nicks.
Yeah. Nick the dick. Nick the
this,
prick.
I know about Captain Rainbow mainly from reading about him on Igra, and it sounds like a fantastic series where it mainly revolves around like minor Nintendo characters showing up. And
really?
apparently Birdo is a major character in it.
Birdo?
Yeah.
That was Chris's first video game crush.
Mm-hmm.
Was a confused woman man.
He thought Birdo
shoots eggs out of its mouth.
I may be wrong about this, but I think that like Birdo in the game has a crush on the main character. So
is it a sanctioned thing from Nintendo?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
What the fuck am I doing not knowing about this?
I have no idea. What are you doing?
What
would
I be doing not knowing?
What will you be doing
69.
Why not? No, Lizzie, get over 69. Jesus Christ.
I can't. It's the 69 talk radar.
It is true.
Oh, yeah. And you guys asked me to come, so deal with it.
It wasn't on purpose. If I'd have known, it would have been nothing but 69s the whole time. I would have asked no one else, because no one else would stay this late. Oh, I got nothing.
Yeah, you didn't know I was going to yell every entry, did you?
Yeah, well,
I'm going to tone it down this time. Are you
ready?
You're
going to tone it down? All right. I do know something about the next number, about number two.
This is possibly the only one that you shouldn't tone down.
Ah, but I am, because, you know, I work like that.
Out of respect.
Number two, a chapu, chapu. Master Onion.
Oh, yeah. Chop Chop Master Onion.
Everyone loves Chop Chop Master Onion.
It's like an onion.
Wow, I was really trying to get the... Well, I'm having fun. How about you?
Even people who don't recognize or know anything about Parappa the Rapper will know part of his song, the part that goes, kick, punch, it's all in the mind.
Kick, punch, it's all in the mind, which at one point, I believe, wasn't Parappa on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Didn't that happen?
Possibly.
Because at the time, it was such a huge thing. Like, this character, like, I wouldn't say it kickstarted the music genre, because I don't think that's what happened, but it really, games were kind of on the edge of becoming, breaking through to mainstream popular culture, like they were when Pac-Man was around, where everyone knew video games and played them, and then they became a fad again, and they became kids' toys, and then PlayStation really helped get over that hurdle. And this is one of those games that kind of broke out, and even though it's super weird, where a guy screams like this, and it's a fucking onion dancing and rapping about karate, but it's...
He also has two other songs that nobody pays attention to, because he showed up in all those games. He's probably in Major Minor's Majestic March, although I'd never play that fucking thing.
No, there's a video on YouTube, if you go to my Perch 11 YouTube, of Chris basically humping himself while playing Major Minor's Majestic March.
Oh, I recorded that.
You did.
Too.
There's two angles, so that's how you know it was professionally done.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But we can afford more than one camera.
Yeah, the video. They're two Canon digital cameras. No expense spared. Mm-hmm. Master Onion, the video we embedded in the article is from Umjammer Lammy, which I like more than Parappa.
Oh, yeah.
Looking back, Umjammer Lammy is some really good. If you like metal more than you like fake rap, Umjammer Lammy is really fun. The whole song's really cool. Mm-hmm. Lizzie, you're
one
in a band.
One of the first games to allow distortion
about...
pedals.
Wait, what was it?
One of the first music games to have distortion pedals.
Really?
Yeah. At least as far as I know. But you earned one after every song. It's pretty awesome.
I don't remember that.
Tell you about what?
Tell me about music. As a musician.
Oh, as a musician. There are just a shit ton of 69s going around. 69ing all
the
time.
So is that how true. Is that how you get ahead? Like, to That's become a bassist, do I just...
To become a bassist, you have to 69 the manager.
Right.
The venue owners.
Like all venue owners, or is there like a venue owner head of state that I should 69, and then it kind of trickles down?
Oh, well, it depends on how big you are.
Not literally big, metaphorical big.
No, yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay, number one on the list.
Number one, and this is the final one.
The top seven, mm-hmm. oddest Japanese game heroes.
This is probably the best one.
This is the oddest one. Segata Sanshiro.
Yeah. What is this?
Basically, it's a parody of this Japanese historical figure named Sugata Sanshiro, who was a judo guy who had a bunch of movies by Kurosawa made about him. But Segata Sanshiro was like this judo superhero guy who was like an ultra-hardcore gamer and was disgusted with the youth of Japan turning to PlayStation and not the ultra-hardcore Saturn. And so basically all of his ads were just him going around beating the shit out of people for not playing Sega games.
I love that, like, the first YouTube video is called Segata Sanshiro Kick. It's like...
Well, I just love that he's
his kick.
Disgusted with the youth. That sounds like such a translated... Yeah. It's like I said, every anime I've watched, someone is disgusted in youth.
But yeah, he got his own Saturn game, and then, like... When the Saturn went under and just before Sega went to the Dreamcast, they had like this big epic commercial where there was like a giant Sony missile aimed at Sega headquarters, and he like leapt off the roof and re-guided it into space, and that was the end of him, and everybody cried at his tragic sacrifice.
So what game was he actually in that you could play?
Well, he had his own game, I think was Segata Sanshiro or Segata Sanshiro Kick, and he also showed up in Sega Gaga.
Sega Gaga, which was in your...
It was in the top No, no, it was in the import Dreamcast games that should have come over here.
I was so amazed when I heard about it. I didn't know about Sega Gaga. That's just so meta and, like, almost
what is
bitter.
It it's like all the Sega characters coexisting in the same world.
Yeah, basically. That was like you're a teen tasked with bringing Sega back up to prominence.
Right.
And
wow, that didn't go well.
No, it really didn't. But it's like in a world where all the Sega characters are real and you go around fighting them and they factor into the plot and like the assistant who helps you out is like revealed to be a Phantasy Star character and yeah, it's kinda crazy.
Uh oh.
I just wanna say you've got no time left. Alright, the topic is now
modern.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare
2. Two.
All right.
There's another one now.
Lizzie, Tyler, you both actually saw the game as little as hours ago.
Yeah, well, Lizzie saw it recently. How was that, Lizzie?
I just got back from LA today, and it makes me want to leave this podcast and go play the first one to catch up so that when the second one comes out, I'll be ready to play it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they had to pull me away from it, really. Shut
it's
up.
Fantastic.
It Hot is. Shots, parts
two. Oh, it's fantastic when all it's right. not.
So
real.
You wrote a very, very positive preview, but that's on the
I
site
did.
Now. Well, I mean, but as you said, it's positive for a reason. Like
it was great. They had to, they you know, finally. I went to LA last week.
Right.
Like the big multiplayer reveal was today. I went last week because I'm writing a feature for PlayStation, the official magazine.
The official magazine.
So I got to see it early, and like I'm sitting there at Infinity Ward's offices, which are amazing, by the way, in this big theater with like these cushy chairs and like this huge screen surround sound and all the free Mountain Dew I could drink.
Damn!
Just playing the game with the coders and stuff, and like 3 hours later, they're like, "So, I think we should move on and look at some of the other stuff." And I haven't taken any notes. I'm just like, "Yeah, yeah, sure, yeah, yeah, all right."
No, I'm just playing, man.
It's okay. It's okay. I don't need to. So it was so much fun, and it's really great.
I saw people online were talking about potential balancing problems. So what's the deal with like the new perks versus all that stuff?
People are kind of complaining like, "Oh, snipers can now have suppressors, so they can." You know, avoid being detected and some of the new perks like another sort of piece of equipment you can have is tactical insertion. You throw it down.
I'm a big fan of tactical insertion.
Me too. That's what she said. fucking like developing a plan.
Oh, I've got a straight face. I'm not joking. I was talking about the military. What are you talking about?
We're talking about bonus,
I know what Tyler's
clearly.
Talking about.
No, it's cool. You
You're not
down.
Talking about...
69.
No, right. I'm talking about throwing down a marker, dude. Throwing
in
down
her
a
mouth.
No,
sorry,
the
okay.
flesh marker.
Okay, no.
You throw down a marker and you respawn wherever you threw it down, but people can destroy it. So people were worried, like all this new stuff, they're going
right.
a little over the top.
Right?
Is it going to become unbalanced? But
on one hand, I would argue, you know, shut up, you don't know what you're talking about, because even
right.
we as journalists who see a game before it's done, who interview the people who are making it, who play games our entire lives, even we are wrong to jump to conclusions like that,
right.
to say it's unbalancing the game at this early of a stage. But
yeah.
there's also cause for concern because you see things like what happened with, Gears 2,
yeah.
where just little things end up causing a lot of problems. And so it is kind of warranted to worry about.
Yeah, I understand why they worry. And, you know, I had the same kind of concern as they're showing me all this new stuff, like... You know, taking charge of the AC-130 and like as a kill streak reward, and just having the cannon of an airplane basically to rain down.
So you take control of it at that point.
Yeah, and there's also a Predator missile as a kill streak reward.
What does that do?
Which is it's a 5 kill streak, I think, where the missile starts very high above the map, and you basically fly by wire. You control it as it comes down. And you can see all the enemies on the map.
Oh.
So you guide the missile down.
It's like an airstrike, but more like a real-time...
Yeah, it's like an airstrike, but you open up a laptop, you know, and you're vulnerable.
I was going to say you're vulnerable while that's
You
happening.
Are vulnerable. If you hit yourself, you will die. But, like, that's stuff that's super cool, but doesn't work with the balancing. You know, I can't say I know yet, because I only played it for a few hours, but playing against coders and testers and level designers... I still came in second a few times with a level one character, you know, like, putting a bullet through someone's head is still putting a bullet through, you know, if you have good aim, if you're relatively good at the game, it doesn't matter what perks they have.
Right.
You can still kick ass, like, with the basic equipment, but now you have all these new options.
You can have two perks at the same time?
You can have two attachments at the
same
time.
Two attachments.
Using a perk called Bling, which
sounds
like something they sat around and someone, like, shouted it out, and they're all like, that's so funny, we have to use that.
It sounds like, what are we going to call this? They spend 8 hours. Can we just call it Bling?
Yeah, like, right, that was probably the first thing someone said, and finally they were like, let's just call it Bling.
Fuck it.
Let's just go with it. I know it's a dumb joke, but let's just go with it. But it seemed to work really well, and, like, all the new shit they added, all the new weapons, like secondary weapons, now can be shotguns and machine pistols.
Oh, there were no shotguns, were there?
There were shotguns.
In Modern Warfare?
In Modern Warfare, but they were a primary only. Like, the only secondary weapons there were pistols. Now you can have shotguns, you can have missile launchers, you can have, guided missile launchers that you can shoot down UAVs, you can shoot down helicopters with them.
Oh, interesting.
You can shoot down the AC-130, you can shoot down anything. So, like, everything they've added that's a new advantage for someone has
a counter.
Has a counter, so it's like...
What were you talking about, like, the map you were playing, like, the huge map that had, like... The Capture the Flag, which I think is the new mode, right?
Yeah, Capture the Flag, which I love. I used to play Quake 2 CTF, like, all the time. And I was surprised that Call of Duty 4 didn't have Capture the Flag.
Which is College Touch Football, I think, is what that
is. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Quake. Yeah. Great joke. Great joke.
I'm laughing.
You got 1 minute.
I got 1 minute. Capture the Flag is great. We were backed into sort of a corner playing Capture the Flag on, I think it was Afghan, which is a big desert map with rocks and this cool, like, busted-up jumbo jet in the middle. So we're, like, backed into the corner of our base, and they're coming after us. We have the lead, and there's, like, three entrances, a cave, and then two side entrances, and someone drops a sentry gun in the cave, which is one of the killstreak rewards now. So that causes all this havoc, and then I respawn, and I take a riot shield and start, like, pushing against the guys coming from, like, the side entrances. And so they start, like, backing up behind my riot shield, trying to put bullets through it, but, you know, it's slowly cracking in front of me. And then my teammates just start tossing grenades and firing. And I gotta say, it was really fun. Look at that.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Done.
You're out of time.
Boom! Next topic.
Buzz. What is that? 11-10? 11-9? When's that game come out? 11-10-9. November 10th.
November 10th, November 10th.
I mean... People are still playing the first one. Like,
it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be really fucking cool. There's no doubt about that. The next topic is Gay Tony. Michael, you saw some Gay Tony recently.
I did. I played some Gay Tony
tell
recently.
Tell me about what I... Tell me first, what the f*** is this?
Things went a bit crazy and I somehow lost my patch.
That's Yusuf Amir.
Who's that?
Yusuf Amir. He was hinted at. Those who played GTA 4 remember there's the mission in the construction yard where you go with Playboy X, and he has you kill a bunch of guys because he's trying to kiss up to some developer from Dubai. That's the developer from Dubai. And he shows up. He's a major character in Ballad of Gay Tony. He's one of the people who gives you missions. And two of the coolest missions we played were actually part of his storyline, actually, where I said actually twice.
Actually, you did.
The return of the Raparan.
Woo!
The Wiki Parts.
Actually, yes. But yeah, the first mission we saw with him was this thing where you have to go down to this railroad trestle and wait till a subway train comes by. You jump over the side right at the last second. And you're on top of this moving subway train while... These helicopters, police helicopters come by, try to shoot at you. You can shoot them to pieces with this fucking awesome automatic shotgun that fires explosive rounds. That also is really good for shredding police cars.
Really?
Yeah, really. You want me to talk about this or not?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're not making a good case for that.
No.
But, yeah, and then, like, the whole thing is that so you can get to the car at the head of the subway, decouple it, and then Yusuf comes in with, like, this cargo chopper and airlifts it out of there because he wants it for some casino or restaurant that he's building that's themed around New York. So it's like, I have to have a real subway car to put in the middle of this place.
So I guess the thing with Gay Tony is it is really over the top.
Like it's kind of a return to the excesses of previous GTAs, like in San Andreas. There's always, like, it's the GTA's formerly always started out as like, okay, now's the rags to riches, and you start out as in rags. GTA 4 was like, they made a big deal out of it. It's like, oh, it's rags to slightly better rags.
Right.
Lost in the Den was arguably rags to worse rags. And
rags to boxes?
Yeah.
What is below rags?
I don't know. Below rags.
Lizzie, yeah, below rags?
Cardboard suits.
It probably has to do with something with 69.
Probably does. Yeah, like the 69 puddle, I guess.
So this is kind of a return to the excess and the fun. There's, you know, the main character has a lot of money since he's the business partner of a nightclub baron, and so he has access to much better guns, much better cars.
Here is, as a matter of fact, Tony and Lewis.
What's wrong, Lewis?
I've done a deal with the wrong devil, man. I'm the only man in the history of this town with the hottest gay and straight clubs at the same time, and I'm about to lose everything.
What is he about to lose other than gay and straight sex, which is, I mean...
Well, his clubs, I think, is...
Oh, his clubs, okay.
Yeah, that's part of the thing that, you know, Tony makes deals with the wrong people. He gets kind of into the underworld, and so Luis has to go and do favors for these people to kind of even out the balance. You know, I'm not really sure what the plot is. They didn't tell us a lot about it,
right.
But, you know, I know that some of the missions will have Luis working with Timur, who actually works for Bulgarin, who was like a major... antagonist,
you know,
in GTA
these
4.
These names are like the Simpsons making fun of European names.
Kinda.
Tibor and...
Timur.
Timur.
Yeah.
Put it in H, it gets 50 hectares on a single tank of kerosene.
Kind of, yes.
What country is this from? It no longer exists.
Yeah.
I also have a soundbite called Gay King.
Gay Tony? You'll always be the king of this town. You are this town.
That's it.
Gay Tony is this town.
So what?
This is all from the trailer, which you can see on GamesRadar.com.
So we posted.
I love that song, by the way.
What is the song?
I don't know.
I would also like quickly.
I'm sure we'll all know by the time it comes out.
Yeah. To lament the loss in the Bay Area of 92.7, which was the big dance kind of party station, the morning show run by Fernando and Greg, two gay guys, best morning show I've heard in forever. They're really funny guys, and that entire radio station just disappeared last Friday. Appropriately enough, not appropriately at all, sadly, on 9/11, because I was like, I made a mental note, like, Saturday, I was like, I want to make sure I remember the date that station went under, because that was like, it was a locally owned and operated station that was like the heart of the area. It felt really authentic. They were always in the city having events and throwing stuff, like, even if you didn't like the music, they really gave a shit about where they are in the city.
Yeah.
And I was like, what day was it? All right, it was 9/11. Well, I can never write that down because, well, whatever.
Well,
but,
you know what they play now?
Yeah, it turned into a revolution or some bullshit like that.
Well, yeah, I know. I was listening to it recently, and they started playing hip-hop.
Yeah.
Like, so it's basically another 94.9.
It's another 94.9.
The funny thing is, they're playing Kanye West. So he's taking over everything.
Hey, I'm going to let you finish talking about the radio station, but... I'm going to let you finish playing the sound effect of Kanye talking.
Yeah. But, was that it? I'm really happy for you. All right. Michael, any final words? Oh, we posted an article on the site.
Yeah, we did. That was a collaborative effort by me and several of the UK editors.
Right.
You know, I wrote some of the preview-y text on it, and it contributed my opinions, and they contributed their opinions. And
so what's the consensus of the game?
Yeah.
And it does release, like for example, I didn't buy Lost and Damned.
Mm-hmm.
But Gay Tony and Lost and Damned come out on their own disc, Episodes of Liberty City, the same day, like, what, October or something? Eventually it will come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll
sometime
probably buy that, because it's the same price. It's sad that it's the same price. Mm-hmm. You don't get any deals. There's no deals at all. Like, if you bought the DLC, it's no cheaper than if you bought the disc itself. I think it's still $40, but
That could be.
You got 20 seconds. Final thoughts. Gay Tony.
Gay Tony is pretty awesome. I really like it. Some of the UK editors were a little bit skeptical about it.
Really?
But, yeah. And, you know, I am too in certain places, but, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be fun.
Yeah. Same length as Lost in Damned?
As far as I know. They haven't really talked much about that. Mm. But I do know you can replay missions like in Chinatown Wars, so
that's
pretty
good.
Cool. Yeah.
That's a good thing to add. I really hope. Miss being able to play a mission I really... Oh, I gotta move on, even though... Go play your Chinatown Wars. Yeah. I assume the PSP version will be good. I don't know. I really want to get some more time with the PSP version.
I hope they also have checkpoints like Lost and Damned did. That was a huge improvement.
Oh, yeah. I'm interested in Gay Tony, I gotta say. Topic. Burping. Topic 6. Let me set my timer here for 6 minutes and 54 seconds. Go! It's new releases this week. We have Wet. That finally came out.
Ooh.
Who wants to get wet? Get
Nobody.
It? Get it?
Wet.
Get it.
Hey, by
we
the way, guys.
We involved in 69.
I think if you really stretch it.
69!
That's
what,
yeah. If you stretch it,
that's
really
what she said.
If you, yeah.
That's what
that's
I
what he
said. That's
actually.
That's what uh-huh. I think everyone said. But yeah, Wet. What's the legacy to that game?
I remember there were like trailers for it when we started working on this fucking site.
Oh! Really quick before, like, not only has it been in development for whatever a long time, just never came out. Guess what its Metacritic average is?
69.
It really is. As of this writing,
that's
no
amazing.
Fucking joke. But
that is what kept me from picking up a copy today.
When I watch the videos, it looks kind of junky. Mm. Like, as much money as they spent on making this female lead character is like, oh, man, we really put a lot of time into this. That's the quote, the developer. Mm-hmm.
You said it in that voice,
I think
sure.
It's Professor Developer was his name. As the developer of...
Oh, man, you had so much trouble finding boobs and sword.
We're making this character hopefully to get on the cover of one of them Playboy magazines.
Professor Developer,
I'll tell
PhD.
You what, man, you come over to Russia, I'll get you laid lickety-split.
That's something I'm glad we haven't really seen much since fucking Dark Watch.
Russian prostitutes?
No. The idea is like, let's make a game character and get in Playboy.
Oh, Dark Watch, good God. Also, Need for Speed Shift averaging an 85, which is...
And the F comes out of that so easily.
Need for Speed
Need
Shift.
Speed Shift? Oh, Need for Speed Shit. I really wanted one of them to be not safe for work somehow, but it would never happen. Yeah.
I like it because
Shift
is what you do to a car.
Yeah.
When you want to change gears.
When I want to change gears.
It's just a... Why is that... That's just a word.
They're showing that the franchise is...
Yeah, it's
gears?
A shift away from the really arcadey kind of... Anybody can play too super technical. No one can play gameplay.
That's pretty
so
multi-layered.
This is their, like, Gran Turismo.
Yeah,
thing.
Kind of.
Okay.
Averaging an 85. And Chris, our resident racist, I think he actually really enjoys... I think he's actually really enjoying Shift.
I think he likes it.
So if you like racing, well, if you like technicality more than actual racing, this might be a good holdover for Gran Turismo. Maybe.
If you like video games about working on cars.
It's apparently, if I read the review correctly... It's better than Grid in some aspects and slightly worse in others. So it's kind of a balance. I don't know. Next, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2. Guess what? It's like the first one.
Oh, really?
Surprise. Mm-hmm. Averaging a 79 right now. I played a little bit of Comic-Con, and I was... Again, as with Marvel Ultimate Alliance, the first one, I got really bored after, like, a couple levels, and... Lizzie's, like, smugly bemused at this talk about fucking Ultimate Alliance.
Lizzie is quite really.
Quite really. With a top hat and monocle.
I'll just go look at your desk at all the Spider-Man
I
figures.
Am no fan of Spider-Man.
No.
Not
no,
here
no,
such
no.
nonsense.
Disney's Spider-Man.
I know, Brett has, like, you probably know by now, Brett's desk is covered with Spider-Man figures.
It is so actually covered.
It is covered with them, and now that Disney bought Marvel, I love to say, look at all those Disney toys.
Disney characters on
They all sprouted mouse ears overnight.
And then, like, whereas Chris Antista, who's dead right now, has Disney characters all over. Look at all those Marvel characters
those
on
Chris's. The only
Chris's.
Thing left of Chris is...
Yeah.
That is his actual belch, by the way. Jesus.
I know, and he's now
I was
dead.
There, too.
Oh, yeah, you were
I was there.
Yeah, he actually belched out some of his intestines, and that's why he's not with us.
Okay. The next one, NHL 2K10 came out on everything except my ass. Wow, that probably sounds way worse.
Did you get trunk cut?
I got a little bit of puck butt.
What?
Puck butt.
Is that what happens in Canada?
That's how Tyler. Is that how they do it in Canada?
We do. We have a little puck butt.
All right. good week for PC because you got Arkham Asylum, RE5, and Red Faction Guerrilla all came out on PC.
Yeah, I saw a ridiculous number of PC reviews.
Yeah, the PC mods for Arkham Asylum are really cool. For Batman, I think it's in the Eidos forums, but like people are modding the Batman costume to make like the Michael Keaton outfit, the Batman Beyond outfit. It's cool. Classic. It's really cool. Also, Mario & Luigi Bowser's Inside Story came out. Henry Gilbert, Hank the Mother and Tank Gilbert, Hydra Mothers, he wrote a super review for Mario & Luigi Bowser's Inside Story. it's if you played like Superstar Saga, Brothers in Time, Paper Mario, like this is a really fun series that's has probably the best translation. Like these guys work really hard to make sure it's not just a good translation, but that it's funny. And if you're a Nintendo fan at all, they are. It's very kind of incisive and like little elbow jabs at its own continuity. And plus, the battle system is really good.
That's cool.
It's a really fun game.
But if you're not a dork, you should probably.
If you're not
be
a dork, you should go to Land.
I think Fawful still has Fawful the best. Excellent dialogue masquerading as really poorly translated dialogue.
Yeah, it's like, that's not mistranslated dialogue. Like this says, like, what's your beef with us? He's like, beef? I have no beef. I'm beefless. Like, just think, I'm lacking in beef. I am beefless. That's stupid. It's fun as hell.
I am a villain who is named Fawful.
Yeah, it's not mistranslated. It's just expertly rewritten. Mm-hmm. Finally, we got 1 minute. Scribblenauts came out this week.
Woo!
We gave that shit a 7, which I'd like you to know is still a good score.
It is
7
a good
does
score.
Mean good.
Not saying it's bad.
That's 2 points above average.
2 points above an average game. And I'm reading the reviews online of other outlets, and it really feels like people are reviewing the idea of this game and not what it actually is. I understand wanting to focus on... Yeah, but it's so creative. You can just kind of do whatever. And it's like, that is cool and admirable. And if I were a kid, I would probably really like just hyping things in and seeing what happens. But
I'm an adult and I like that.
Yeah, it is still cool. But it's like, as a game, I can type jetpack in and get everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like, the best made games, I still need to play them and use the tools they give me. And when the tool is just jetpack and rope,
yeah,
I don't know.
Basically, as I understand it, I've played very little, but I did coach the reviewer a little bit.
Right.
It has 2 fatal flaws. Are we seriously done talking about this?
Yes.
Shit.
No, but there's keyboard cat in it.
10 seconds. You got 10 more seconds.
Okay. It has 2 fatal flaws. The first is that the controls are a mess because...
Right, I heard that.
Yeah, you tap on the screen to move and to interact with objects. So if you want to click on something and you miss, your character will run straight over there and then probably fall off a cliff. And the other one is what you said with the jetpack, that, you know, you could create really elaborate solutions to puzzles, or you could just put on a jetpack and fly wherever it is you're supposed to go.
Yeah, exactly. It's just seems really strange to do that, to do it that way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I it's a game I really wanted to like. I wanted it to do good, but I was afraid it'd be too much crippling choice when only a few options are really necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably still worth buying to check out if you personally like, but like as a game, as we review games, that's kind of what we had to give it.
And if you look at it as a playground, it's still a lot of fun.
Playground, yeah.
Yeah.
No, topic number 7. We are talking about kind of going into... It's still semi a new release. We're all familiar with the Nintendo videos that they've released, like the Donkey Kong Country video. We played audio clips of like John Lovitz narrating a Banjo-Kazooie. Like, Nintendo used to release tapes once a year.
Yeah.
And they're really cheesy. They're like really goofy, poor dialogue. I've actually got an article up today, which is this time capsule of all this video. But that article, I really encourage everyone to look at it because it's just this bizarre time capsule of what Nintendo was like in 99 and 2000. Like, it's commercials, it's promotional videos they recorded for not commercial use that we came into possession of. They're really fun to watch. I don't know. If you were a gamer at all 10 years ago, it's just bizarre to see. And you probably might remember them from being in toy stores and shopping. But this week was the launch of Nintendo Week. Anyone use the Nintendo Channel on their Wii? No, I didn't think so.
Ah.
The Nintendo Channel relaunched this week.
Use the Wii?
And every week. Lately, yes. Sadly, strangely enough, the Wii's actually had some good stuff recently. But anyway, Nintendo Week showed up. It's a weekly hosted show by 2 people, and it's like a new, like, just treasure trove of goofy shit and like, Nintendo trying to be really cool and or appear like they're with it in any way. So you have the intro.
Hey there, welcome to the first ever episode of Nintendo Week, your weekly guide for what's happening in the world of Nintendo. I'm Gary.
And I'm Allison. Here's what we've got for you today.
Tell me about the games.
Oh, and then, man, and then chemistry.
And then cue the intro, and guess what kind of music it is? Perfectly safe, sterile alt rock. Wait. Here comes the hook. Oh, you couldn't see my face.
Oh, really God. Angry. I could eat breakfast off of that.
But naturally, it's very... I understand why it's so clean, because it's on the Wii. Like, it's presumably going to the same families who bought the system to play with their children.
Has to be GGG rated.
It's meant for 88-year-old soccer moms.
How are they soccer moms when they're 88? Wow, they're having kids play.
That's the joke, Mill. Tyler.
They're soccer moms that had babies at 50. Their kids would still be 38.
David
Good
Letterman,
God,
what's old. Up with
people,
that?
People are old.
But why
then,
do they
then
do
it gets
it?
Into when they try to add a little edge. And this week they happen to talk about Guitar Hero 5.
Oh,
next
edgy.
Up, an interview with a hero. A guitar hero.
Oh, cue the fuck! I know one note. Right. And then they go to play Guitar Hero 5, and they're talking about. This is a free download on WiiWare the Nintendo channel, by the way. They go to start talking about Guitar Hero 5, and as I predicted that Guitar Hero 5 a year ago would have stupid shit like you'll be able to pick your roadies and you'll be able to drive your tour bus, and that didn't happen. What actually happened was Guitar Hero 5 turned out to be really good.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Except the Wii one has almost all the shit I predicted would happen. You have a roadie battle with the DS. You're the roadies behind the stage.
Oh, no.
And you try to mess up the people playing the main game, which...
It seems like a great way to get fired as a roadie. I mean, Jesus Christ.
You're messing with the other people, but here's some insults they're throwing. This is one of the developers of Guitar Hero 5, and it actually sounds bizarrely sexual.
Allison and Jay, I'm going to lefty flip you, bust your amps, and firebomb your highway.
Oh, man.
I'm going to firebomb your highway.
Firebomb your Hershey highway.
If you've ever had your highway firebomb, it is not pretty. Nothing? All right. Go to hell, every one of you. But then when they have to get into the insults, because they're trying to act like, oh, man, I am so going to get you at the game we are playing.
Mm-hmm.
When if you were doing it yourself, you'd be, guess what, motherfucker? You'd really get into it. Or something like real people interact with each other. But because,
they're all like, oh, ho, I am going to get you now.
Oh, here you go. Here it is.
Breaking guitar strings. Here we go.
Right.
Oh, your guitar's going to be all messed up.
Jay, you're done. You're cooked.
You're cooked.
You're cooked.
People actually say that.
What the fuck is going on?
Good, clean fun.
Yeah. And you can tell the camera's rolling on them, and they're like, is that good enough? And then it finally all wraps up. And they did previews for like Bowser's Inside Story and the new Wii channel and all this shit. It's about 8 minutes long, and then it ends with...
Until then, we'll be right here in the little white box in your living room where we live.
But he says it with such a... Like, he's not kidding.
Like, yeah, like, no, really. No,
like,
really.
No, really.
They keep us in a white box.
The white box, we could just say the Wii.
They don't let us leave.
Oh,
it's like Saw in here, man.
We're going to have to cut off our fucking faces to leave. But hey, if you want to watch some silly shit.
Allison and Jay, I'm going to lefty flip you, bust your amps, and firebomb your highway.
Oh, man. It's like he's going to put hot sauce on his dick and fuck her.
Wow, that's kind of what we were all thinking, but we didn't have the balls to say it. Next topic, topic number 8 is Ask a Games Journalist, a new segment that I started in the forums, and I want
You know what's weird? That's what we are.
We are. Yeah. And I wanted people in the forums in gameswriter.com/forums, TalkWriter podcast, as a way to give more reach out to the community to have more of an impact on the podcast other than just the question of the week.
Right.
Because, and I know this week isn't the best time to start it because you have 6 minutes and 28 seconds left. But There's already a lot of questions in there. And literally anything you want to ask about the industry, about what we do. I don't know. I feel like when I was maybe 10 years younger, it's the kind of shit I really wanted to know what it's like to be here. Because all of us were the guys reading the site. Girl.
Guys is an acceptable catchphrase.
Guys is an acceptable catchphrase. Lizzie, I'm sorry I called you a bucket of bitch earlier. I apologize.
You said that?
Yeah.
I didn't relay that.
When?
I said, Tyler asked, will you go get Lizzie? And I said, get that bucket of bitch. So,
we all.
Oh, she's
no,
out of here.
She's outie.
What's funny is she's still miming walking away on the radio.
As if she could see it.
But I'm kidding. Lizzie,
this is her putting her headset back on.
Hi, guys.
Hello. Lizzie's a valued member of this establishment.
We love Lizzie.
Fuck you guys.
But Puckbutt, come on. That was a good. Remember Puckbutt? We're having a good time.
Oh, that was funny. We were all laughing. All remember right. that?
But, no.
Ask a games journalist. This week was from User Turbo, which is like capital T, U, cares. How does feature exclusives work?
How is Babby form?
Does the gaming press pay publisher developer for first dibs on info, or do they come first to gaming publications? And this is one of those questions. It's very insidery and industry. And
right.
if you have your own question, again, gamesetter.com/forms, talk right our podcast.
That's right.
And,
so what was that question?
So how do we get exclusives?
How do exclusives work? I think a lot of people think, like, we want an exclusive Modern Warfare 2 reveal of the multiplayer mode. So we have to pay for that. No, of course not.
It usually works one of two ways. We either ask a publisher, it's like, hey, can you give us something exclusive, before everyone else has it? And then, they do that, and that's a favor. Or they come to an outlet that they really want to get their game exposure with.
Yeah.
They go to, like, Game Informer or something. It's like, hey, we will give you the first reveal on this. You will have it before anyone else if you give us the cover.
Yeah.
Anything like that.
It's like any industry with how covers work in a magazine. The cover is the most valuable thing
right.
in it. Like, anything. The new bike that comes out, the bike magazines want that bike on the cover. It's the same thing. Nobody pays.
Each side has something they want from the other. Money never has to change hands because we can just, give each other what we want.
You'll still get ads changing hands because that's how...
Yeah, but that's a separate department.
Yeah, it's a separate department.
Editors don't handle
that. We don't
talk
to our ad department. We don't... They're down there. We're on a different floor. But if we end up, like, say, with Capcom, we had, like, the Mega Man 9 exclusive last, like, say, a year ago. It's, like, the last exclusive that I actually was able to do a year ago. But it also has a lot to do with your personal relationship with the PR, the people representing that game. The longer you're in the industry, the more people get to know your taste. So, like, it's kind of known that I'm super into Ace Combat. I'm super into Mega Man. And the PR people that end up working on those games know that and know that they're not just throwing it to somebody. They'll think, wait, that guy at GamesRadar loves Ace Combat, or a guy at IGN loves, SmackDown or something like that. They'll go to these people. And it's not for preferential treatment whatsoever. It's just they want to make sure someone who knows the subject matter gets it out correctly.
Right.
That may not mean I'm reviewing the game because obviously I'm going, if I love the thing already, I'm probably going to review it favorably. But for the initial reveal of a game like Mega Man 9, I'm a gigantic Mega Man geek ass. So it was very appropriate. And then we you can pitch feature ideas like, okay, if we can get the first this, then I can do this feature on, say, the history of all of Mega Man. It's all ideas, and it's all ultimately with the reader in mind. Like, it's to create content that someone can actually fucking read or use or get information from. Like, the bottom line is, as editorial, we want you, Mr. Listener, to enjoy the thing that we produce, not because, like, we don't see any of that money. It doesn't matter if this company makes a multi-million-dollar deal with Microsoft to have ads for the next 50 years. I will not see a dime of that, so I don't give a shit about what they do. I just want to make sure that the stuff we post
is at least entertaining
or interesting in some degree.
So getting more ads or getting deals does not make us more money. No, we get our 2% raises like anyone else.
Yeah, like everyone else. We work 20,000 hours a week. So.
Yeah, it breaks down like this. I mean, okay, we get an exclusive. That's more people coming to our site to read our stuff.
Yeah.
And if a publisher gives us an exclusive, then, that guarantees that a certain number of people will go and see that, or that it will be given, a certain amount of coverage or whatever.
It's a symbiotic relationship, and it can really be really complex. Like, I did I went to, like I said, Modern Warfare 2. I went to Infinity Ward to see that for a PlayStation The Official Magazine feature, which is, it's a big deal. And so there, you know, they have one of those games that it doesn't, everyone wants to cover that game.
Everyone wants a piece of Modern Warfare.
So they're kind of doing us a favor in that sense, because it's like no one's going, no, we don't want to do a cover feature on that game. But then I talked to them. I'm like, okay, can I do a review for game or a preview for Games Radar? Can I post that like during the time of the event? It takes a lot of like sort of making deals with people, getting to know PR people, public relations people, and you know, if they like you and they think that you're really interested in what they're doing and you're going to do a lot of coverage, then that benefits them, and then it benefits us because we get to reveal
then
stuff.
They can take the reams of coverage that you do and show it to their bosses and say, hey, look at all the coverage I secured for this game. Aren't
I did
I
my
awesome?
Job. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
public relations. It's their job to make sure the game gets lots of coverage. So
this is true. Well, we've got 15 extra seconds. Anything else?
Hot sauce on your dick.
Yeah, money never changes hands, and it's really insulting to suggest that it does.
That's true.
Nobody's walking up with a check to say, I'll give you $50 to write about Mega Man.
No.
That's not happening. All right.
I'm sorry, Lizzie, you were going to say something, and I cut you off.
It's okay. No,
it wasn't very good.
No, go for it, Lizzie. You got a few seconds.
A lot of mutual fellatio. Also known as 69 between two men.
Mutual fellatio.
It sure is.
Mutilatio. That's what we call it.
And number nine is the question of the week. Topic number nine. Question of the week.
Uh-oh.
Last week was, and again, this is a gameswriter.com/forums thing. What was your fondest Sega memory? Because last week we were all up in the Dreamcast's butt. It died 10 years earlier. Sadly. Well, no, it was released 10 years earlier. Fascinating information. Question of the week 52 last week was Sega memory. Rabbit Zombies in the forums. He had a memory of playing a Genesis game, Master of Monsters, but the picture didn't work. So they were trying to guess the monster they were playing as based off the sound. And that's just one of those fun things from like being young, where you're like, the shit you have doesn't work, and there's no internet or magazine or... like nothing to explain anything. Like it's what I really wanted to get across. Like in the early days of games, where it was like
nothing.
The fucking wild west of shit. It's like
it
I don't know. Let's just do this until it works.
Yeah, I remember so many things not working, and then just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And there was no resource to help you. You just either it didn't work, and you wasted that money you saved up, or.
Yeah,
or you figure it out,
and that's echoed in Nichon for figuring out how to play Super Shark on the Sega CD. It's the same thing.
Super
you have
Shark.
To spend so much time. Like I remember playing A Boy in His Blob with a friend down the street forever. And it's not Sega, so it doesn't really count. But it's the same sentiment of just you had to figure this shit out yourself. There was no, or you could call the Nintendo game counselors and charge $1.50 a minute and figure it out that way. Mm-hmm. Which your parents would then punch you in the butt for doing.
A lot like Batman,
which is the ragdoll physics of Batman Arkham Asylum.
Or you could search through your magazines and see if there was anything in
there. Yeah, if the chance the magazine happened to cover the thing. But Bloody Shadow playing Dynamite Heady. What? That's a cool game. But reading the name out loud, I'm like, wow, what? And then Super Zero Sonic for getting a Sonic CD / Knuckles PC compilation, because that's such a weird way to end up playing those games. I thought that was really cool. But a good thread for anyone who's a fan of Sega ever. Go check it out. Question of the week 53, actually brought up by Christian Nutt last week when he mentioned that the Saturn was the first thing he drove to pick up himself with his driver's license.
Oh.
So the question of the week 53 is, what's the first game you drove when you got your license? The first game you actually drove yourself to go buy. And it can be tangentially, like maybe it's semi-game related if a specific game is hard. I think...
God, I don't... I'm trying to remember when I got my driver's license, what I first did.
All right. Well, what you guys think, I'll tell mine. But you don't have to listen. You can think. But the podcast listeners will listen.
I don't usually listen to you, so...
Good. Mine, I tried... I wanted to think it was Final Fantasy VII, but that can't be right. Because I got my license a year before. So if I just go backwards in time and think, because I know I got my license on December 19th, 1996, I have no
God
sound.
Damn it.
I have no sound effect for that, so I'm going to steal that one. Actually, I'm sorry. I'll take that one.
Okay.
I think
that's
it was
my years.
Brett
anyway.
Dateston's got the date.
I think it was Mario Kart 64. I think that's ultimately what it was.
I was a child.
It was February 97.
Yeah.
Anyone remember? First game you bought when you drove?
I'm trying to think.
I kind of remember.
Was it Halo 3, Halo 2, or Halo?
No, fuck you.
Halo.
Did it have Master Chief in it?
Actually, it didn't.
Oh.
Though that is the only reason why I bought an Xbox in the first place was for Halo 2. But anyway, the game that I drove to get, and this was totally random because...
Sometimes they are totally random.
Yeah, yeah. I was kind of a late bloomer, so I got my license at 19.
Whoa.
Yeah. You don't really need a car in San Francisco.
I guess not, no. Like, yeah. Living out where there was, you couldn't walk anywhere, so...
But I was working at GameStop at the time, and I had nothing better going on for me, apparently. So I bought City of Villains on the PC.
Oh, wow.
The collector's edition, too, that came with a cape.
Jesus Christ, that was like 3 years ago.
Yeah. I'm not that old.
I know, but I was here 3 years ago. Oh, wow. So, City of Villains. It was a good game.
I spent a lot of hours on it, and I ended up spelling a Halloween in 2005 in Pocket D.
What the hell is Pocket
D? Pocket D is the community place where you can mix City of Heroes and City of Villains in one area and just socialize.
Wow. Just socialize.
Yeah. Hang out and do whatever?
Yeah. Dude, like, I'm a hero, I'm a villain, let's just chill.
Yeah. So I dressed my character up as Alex Vance for Halloween, and I'm never talking about that again.
Ah,
oh, whoops.
Nerd.
Oh, well, really quick, Michael and Tyler, you got anything?
Yeah, I guess I was an even later bloomer than Lizzie in that I didn't get my license till I was like 20, 21.
Jesus.
Yeah, neither. I didn't either.
I took the bus everywhere. Yeah. I didn't really. And I didn't need have a car, so there wasn't
like
a
11
point.
Miles from a house, man. I had to
have a So I think mine was probably the Dreamcast.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Dang. I have nothing for that except...
That's why Michael has that sweet-ass beard.
I don't really see the connection.
Old beard.
Oh, I see.
Old man
with his beard.
Because the first thing I drove to get was the Dreamcast in 1999.
Beard.
Tyler, any ideas?
No.
Nothing.
I got my car when I was probably 20, like Michael.
Wild guess, quickly.
Wild guess quickly is one of the Command & Conquer games that
I
like.
Oh, that's good enough for me.
Yeah!
All right. Nothing deeper than that?
No one's ever going to answer
no.
this question.
I don't go too deep.
No, they'll all have time to answer. I like to spring them on you guys so you have to actually think.
Yeah.
Should I preface you guys? Should I let you know ahead of time?
Nah.
Kind of.
No. I like the rush.
Spontaneity. All right. Yeah. However, this podcast is not about spontaneity. It's about strict rules of... We're already messing it up because we're over time and I have to edit stuff out. That's the end of the podcast. We are done an hour and a half earlier than we usually are, which is lovely.
Woo! That is lovely. I want to go have some pizza.
Have some pizza. They're going to be surprised as shit to see us this early.
They
Instead
are.
Of rolling in 5 minutes before they close, all their bottom of the gut sucking pizza that's left at the end of the day. teases for next week or this week. I've got, like I said, that videos of old Nintendo stuff. Like, it's really hard to describe, but it's just like 20-something videos of old promotional videos that Nintendo had that were never released anywhere outside of a retail sphere. They're not on YouTube, as far as I can tell, at all. So they're just, if you were around for the N64 days, really fun to watch. And then Chris teased his, he's got a whole week of content. There's another themed week coming up, and it's almost entirely him.
Yeah, he's been ridiculously stressed out getting that stuff written.
Anyone else?
Jesus. Obviously, we talked about it, a Modern Warfare 2 preview up now. Read it, because I didn't talk about nearly anything that was in it. Find that issue of PTOM October 20th.
October 20th?
It'll be big. Like, the stuff in my preview for Games Radar, that's not the half of it. The PTOM feature is huge. I can't say anything about the stuff in there, but even if you aren't going to get the game on the PS3, you'll want to read that feature, because it's not console specific. So
it just happens to be in PTOM.
Just happens to be in PTOM, but if you want the game, you should look at that feature.
Okay.
That's it.
I'm I've written a bunch of stuff also probably for that same issue of P-Tom.
It's now the Games Radar magazine.
Apparently so, yeah. I wrote a couple things, something on God of War and something on trophies that they probably don't want me to say too much about. And I'm going to be on vacation next week. So.
Oh, right.
So those of you who want to hear me should just skip next week's podcast and listen to the one after it.
Yeah, number 70 is next week, which we'll have no Michael, no Tyler, and no Charlie.
Wow.
Next week. So, Lizzie, what are you doing next Wednesday?
I got stuff.
Lizzie's always stuff. Got stuff.
But check out the Keyboard Cat feature.
Yes, the Keyboard Cat videos.
Yeah.
So get excited for Talk Radar 70. Chris and Brett making out the whole time.
This is going to be me and Chris.
That's pretty.
That's pretty stupid.
Why, that's
different.
I know
different. One thing we can do.
What?
But no, the keyboard that thing, keyboard cat thing,
that's
is really,
really
funny.
That's
really funny. I'm sure if you just Google Games Radar keyboard cat, it will come up.
Yeah.
So it's also on the front page probably still. But that's really funny. Just watching notable game deaths get played off. And even though you know the gag is coming every single time, it's still funny. And my favorite is the Gears of War 2, Dom's wife.
Oh, yeah.
There's a little extra flair that makes it funny.
Thank you. Thank you.
I enjoyed the shit out of that. That's all for Talk Radar 69. I don't know what the taking out sound effect is going to be, or the taking out music, but I will pick something that I like and no one else likes.
That's good.
But here it is, taking us out. And I think the best way to take us out would be...
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Miss Vaughn.
We're going to start today by reading together a short story entitled My Sister Fanny. Quiet. Okay, so let's all open up our Reading is Fun books to page
69.
Billy is a nuisance. He will be gone in 2 weeks. I apologize for this inconvenience.